About time.
It is about time.
Yeah.
If I'm not back in 5 minutes, just wait longer.
Don't touch that dial. You've found the best. KLMJ.
Spring planting season is just around the corner, and at First Bank Hampton, we're here to help local farmers get ready. Hi, this is Josh Lang. If you're planning equipment or input purchases, talk to us about our ag loans tailored for your operation. Our team of experienced local lenders makes decisions right here in our community, so you can get fast answers, local financing, and competitive rates. Ready to start the season strong? Stop by or call First Bank Hampton today. Your trusted partner in ag lending. Member FDIC.
At First Bank Hampton, we believe in supporting our communities and our kids. That's why we offer products like the NextGen app. If you've got kids, download it today. This is First Bank Hampton President Tyler Herron, and that support of our communities is also why we're proud to sponsor the Radio on the Go Newsmaker program. Informative, local, and timely information Monday through Friday on 104.9 KLMJ and available at radioonthego.com. With today's Newsmaker interview, here's Mitch Williams.
Joining us this afternoon is Democratic State Representative Jennifer Confirst of House District 32. That's Windsor Heights, Clive area. That's kind of the western part of Des Moines, if you will. West Des Moines, I guess you could say. And we're going to be talking about today here one of the big things that passed here last couple of weeks, SSA for the next school year at 2%. Going to get some thoughts on that. Also the latest with the big words of eminent domain, property rights, and all that fun stuff. And Jennifer, thanks a lot for joining us here today.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, Jennifer, I do want to hit on this. So I was talking with your counterpart, Bob Kresig, here about a week or so ago as SSA was set at 2%. That was lower than what Democrats in the House and Senate were proposing at 5%. I guess your thoughts on that, because talking with some rural superintendents, you know, they talk about teacher retention, things like that. So I guess your thoughts on that being set at 2% this year.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest problems with this increase is that it doesn't keep up with inflation. And so you can talk a lot about the programs in schools and how you can save money, but you can't control the light bill. You can't control the heat bill. And, you know, the things that schools can't control have gone up. Meanwhile, we've asked more and more of our schools while providing them with less and less. It's been about 15 years of chronic underfunding. So yes, it is an increase, but we don't think it's enough. And I think we're hearing from superintendents in rural, urban, and suburban districts who tell us it's not enough to get things going. And so there are going to have to be cuts.
And talking with State Representative Bob Kresig last week, too, he said, you know, with rural schools facing cuts and things like that, maybe, you know, losing teachers to go to more urban schools, I guess, especially from here in rural Iowa, you kind of see them go down to maybe getting closer to Des Moines. But another thing he said, too, was you might see them shutting off some of these programs, too, that they offer families, I guess, here, Jennifer.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, you got to cut something and you can't cut reading, math, and arithmetic, right, as they used to call it. And so now they're looking at ways to reading, writing, and arithmetic. But now they're looking at, you know, programs like debate, band, choir, foreign languages, extracurriculars. And those are things that really help students feel valued and really find their place in a school. And so it's heartbreaking and devastating to imagine that kids won't have those outlets, especially when we talk about children's mental health and the challenges that kids are facing. Having places and things like that for kids to do is critically important for kids' mental health as well.
And I guess one last thing on that is with rural schools as well, you see some of them around here, they might need some upkeep, things like that. And that's another thing they got to worry about is it's harder to pass bond votes too in rural Iowa. So the funding that you guys are proposing were 5%. What would you, I guess, see, Jennifer, as helping that out with more besides maybe teacher salaries and things like that?
Yeah, I think it would also help with things like improvements for the schools, with things like, you know, programs, teacher salaries, retaining teachers, keeping them. But also, let's be honest, it helps to keep property taxes lower. The more the state pays for public education, the less property tax owners have to pay. The costs have to go somewhere. And a lot of times, that's why bond issues are hard to pass, because property taxes are already so high in our communities. And so when you don't fund your education system well, you find that you're having to pull it from somewhere, and that ends up being property owners, which isn't fair to the locals, especially when we have a school system statewide that's so disparate when it comes to income, when it comes to property. And it seems to me that at the state level, if we really want to boost up education across the state for the 94% of kids who go to public schools, we need to be doing so equally across the state.
Again, we're joined by Democratic State Representative Jennifer Confirst of House District 32. That's Windsor Heights, the Clive area, West Des Moines, essentially there. And so this next question, I've talked to more with senators and state reps that are not in big city Des Moines, but they all have an opinion on this, Jennifer. So property rights, eminent domain, all those words that have been used here. It seems like it's been decades that those have been used. But what was your take on, A, the governor's veto last year, the bill that passed, and then B, you know, how to move forward here in this session? I know we're well over 7-8 weeks into the session. How do you guys keep moving forward with this very large issue in Iowa?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the governor's veto was incredibly disappointing because it passed both chambers with a lot of bipartisan support. And, you know, you got to wonder what the politics are involved here to make the governor veto that. But look, I think that we have to address this issue of eminent domain. We have to address this issue of private property rights while also ensuring that we still have a strong biofuels industry, things like that. Feels to me like we're not having a very honest conversation about these issues up here. We've sort of, everyone's gone into their corners. And I'll be clear, those corners aren't partisan, right? And there, you got bipartisan folks on both sides of the aisle, on both sides of the issue. But what I think is really challenging is that no one seems willing to come to the table and find a compromise here. And look, when it comes to my own private property rights, I don't want to compromise either, right? And so I don't blame property owners for feeling that way. I think they feel a little forgotten by the governor and by folks who continue to let their land be taken by eminent domain. I think it's very easy to say no eminent domain for private gain. If a private industry wants to take someone's land, they need to do so with compensation and with permission.
And I guess going back to prior to January 12th, as we entered this 2026 session here, Jennifer, what were some of the things that you kind of wanted to see done here, maybe personally, that you had set out that you wanted to see done during the session, whether that made the final deadline or not? What did you want to see done, I guess?
Right. I would have liked to have seen more, and I hope that maybe some amendments or things come up with regard to affordability. You know, housing affordability is critically important in our state, and I used to work in affordable housing, and I know that there has not been much done in this legislature to address first-time homeowners, rent costs, things like that. Affordability generally is something that we hear about everywhere we go. And I will also tell you that healthcare affordability, specifically access to healthcare in rural Iowa, is a critically important issue. You know, I, like, quick story here, my husband cut his finger on with a chainsaw. It was quite a lovely moment. And we went to Methodist West Hospital, and everyone in line in front of us at Methodist West was from Greenfield, Adair, Atlantic. They're from all out in rural Western Iowa. And that's now, before we see hospitals close, before we see struggles. And so I think that, you know, everyone's health insurance costs are continuing to go up, and we've not done anything in this legislature to address it in any way, shape, or form. And then finally, obviously, public education is really important. I don't think we hit the mark there, but mental health. Mental health is something I hear about from folks all across the spectrum. And we just need to do a better job of providing access to mental health. And that means bringing providers into rural Iowa. That means providing some incentives for them. We're not doing that right now. So I'm incredibly disappointed, but I always hope, because nothing is dead until the final gavel falls. So we're hoping that some new ideas can come up in the form of amendments, and we can still get some good things done for Iowans.
Like you said, there is still time to get those things done. Again, we're joined by State Democratic Representative Jennifer Confers of House District 32, bringing her on because, well, she's the former House Minority Leader, but she foregone that role because she was going to try to run for Congress. She also announced that this will be her last run here during the session. She's not going to run for re-election here later this year. And I guess, Jennifer, before we sign off, I guess your thoughts on that, because when my coworker talked to you in the past, we always introduced you as House Minority Leader. You did give that up as well. So why are you deciding to step away, I guess?
Yeah, I think, you know, it was time for someone new in the minority leader role. I've did it for 4 years, and we want to make sure that we continue to have new voices. And the same is true for leaving my seat. I've been here 8 years, and I think it's important that we build our bench by having new folks come in. I also, running for Congress is really hard, and it wasn't very fun, and I didn't like it, and I'm pretty beat. So I've been working pretty much nonstop for about 5 years, and looking forward to just having one job for a while, and watching my daughter graduate from law school and going on a vacation. It's my husband's 30th anniversary this year. And maybe instead of going to Red Oak or Ottumwa, which are lovely places, we'll go out of town instead. So we're going to take a little break, reevaluate, and see what happens next. But I've absolutely been honored to have this role. It's the dream of a lifetime for me.
And you say new voices. There's certain politicians that stay there late 80s into their 90s. And
yep, that's right.
Not as much fresh voices with that, but I
digress. It's really important to me. Yeah, it's really important to me that new people have a chance to step in. And so even though I wanted to stay, and a lot of folks wanted me to, I had to really look at the good of the party and the good of the district and say, it's time for new blood. I have to walk the walk, right? I can't say other people need to retire if I'm not willing to do so too.
And I agree with you on that. That's a very good point there with fresh voices, fresh ideas too. So anyway, Jennifer, I do appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us. Hopefully we can talk down the road, maybe before you even retire, I guess.
I would love the opportunity to do so. Absolutely.
All right. Our thanks to Jennifer Confers for joining us on the Newsmaker program.
Thank you, Mitch. At First Bank Hampton, we're proud of our strong tradition in supporting Hampton, Franklin County, and surrounding communities. Between offering products like the NextGen app to help our kids learn about money, to sponsoring local informative content like the Newsmaker program, First Bank Hampton will always remain invested in your interests. To hear today's interview in its entirety, listen on demand at radioonthego.com or in the Radio On The Go mobile and TV apps. Newsmaker is a local news program presented by your friends at First Bank Hampton.
Ready to refresh your space? Hi, this is Steph McWilliams with First Bank Hampton with exciting news. Our limited time home improvement and HELOC specials are here. If you've been dreaming of updating your kitchen, finishing that basement, or finally tackling those interior projects you've noticed during the long winter, now's your chance. With great rates and flexible options, it's the perfect time to turn your house into the home you love. Don't wait. Visit us or call First Bank Hampton today to find your best option. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.